Hey, welcome to Back on the Broomstick. Today, we're talking about candle magic.
Burn, burn, burn. No, I'm just kidding.
A
Welcome to Back on the Broomstick,
modern witch's spoken word grimoire.
where two witchy friends from way back are reconnecting to their pagan roots after a long period of mundanity.
We're rewalking the path of the wise and trying out all the latest spells, rituals, and magical theory in today's witchcraft and pagan practices.
So grab your wand and your incense,
your cauldron and your crystals,
and join us
as we get
back on the broomstick.
Hi, I'm Layla.
And apparently I'm a fire starter. I'm Shell.
Yeah, everyone always did like to call the fire element. That was always a favorite. I think we all have a little bit of a fire bug in us. Who doesn't love to stare into the fire crackling while you're camping or into a beautiful candle as you're sitting there?
You know, I just want to kick it off with a little tidbit that I think we all forget about. We have all, every single one of us, no matter who you are, where you're from, we have all performed candle magic, if nothing else, on a yearly basis. And yes, you're right. I said it. Birthday candles.
Yep, exactly.
Making a wish on a candle and then blowing out that candle and putting your breath into that wish. That is like the purest form of magic there is. So happy birthday, blow out your candles.
I think we all kind of feel the magic of candlelight. You know, if you're going to have a romantic dinner, what do? You light candles. If you're going to have a relaxing bath, you light candles. You know, it's part of our everyday life that we don't realize that it's a little mini ritual that we're doing each and every time. It's one of my favorite ways to do simple magic.
You know, I love when we have a big storm because, you know, the power goes out and then you have no choice. You're living by candlelight. And let me tell you, it's damn relaxing. I don't know if we have killed ourselves with fluorescence or what, but there's something relaxing about candlelight. Something kind of subdued.
It does bring a different kind of energy. People feel that, whether it's like you were saying, the different light wavelength or whatever that happens to be, people feel that when a candle's lit. And there's a reason why one of the ways people will introduce someone to meditation is to have you picture a candle flame. It is very easy to kind of zone out, to self-hypnotize
right.
yourself.
There's something to be said about fire scrying. You know, sometimes I'm zoning out in that fire, but it's really more doing some fire scrying.
You're kind of in an alpha state when that happens.
Right.
So people are very open and receptive without even realizing it. It's a perfect state for scrying.
You think you can scry only in water or a crystal ball? Hell no. Try some fire scrying. Even if you're not doing anything magical, even if you're just hanging out and just staring into that fire, there's something to be said for that.
How do you fire scry?
Personally, it's just a matter of, as I'm staring at the fire, going to alpha, it just kind of happens for me. And if you're not familiar with what going into alpha means or how to do such a thing, I highly suggest reading Laurie Cabot's Power of the Witch. It'll give you detailed information on what that is and how to do it. Just going into alpha and it just comes. But I could say that about water scrying or mirror scrying or crystal scrying. You know, it's just more about getting into that mind state, getting yourself into that magical mind and letting yourself see what there is to see.
An alpha state in your brain is one of the many different brain wavelengths that you can get into in order to meditate. And an alpha state is kind of that state between waking and sleeping, is a good way to describe it. And we often go into that, sometimes called the early morning stares that people will get, you know, before they have their first cup of coffee. Or if you've ever been driving on the road and missed your exit because, you know, you're kind of driving on
autopilot,
you might
yeah.
say. Yeah. You're usually in an alpha state, kind of in a self-hypnosis state. That's where you want to get to when you're trying to meditate. And so some people will have you envision a candle flame because of what Shell just said. It's an easy way to get into that meditative alpha state between waking and sleeping. And so if you're looking at a candle flickering flame or a fire flickering flame, that can help lull you into that alpha state. And that's where you get to when you're meditating and where you really want to be when you're trying to do spell work or ritual work, because that's where you're going to connect with your deepest self, with deity, with nature, and with the energies all around you. So you're in a very magical state when you're in that, when you're there. And so if you're going to do divination work, getting yourself centered and protected and in that alpha state is a must. And so the fire can not only help you get there, it can then be that reflection that Shell was talking about to see the future.
But then, you know, when you're starting to talk about candle magic, which is a little different than fire scrying,
It's one type of magic.
right? Candle magic is kind of like a little niche form of magic. Think of it as like herb magic, using different colored candles and maybe different oils and herbs in and around your candles to aid in a spell or aid in some sort of spell working or magical working. I do try to go along. You know, there's a color code, like a lot of things. There's a color code to candle magic, and I do
Yeah.
try to stick with that. But, you know, red, courage, love, lust, you know, orange, attraction, encouragement. But when in doubt, use white. White is kind of universal. You can use it for any, you know, sort of spell work, candle magic, candle work. What are your thoughts on the colors?
I love colors because they do help to set a mood.
Right.
If I have a circle and I have in each quarter a white candle, it's beautiful and it's perfect. And sometimes that's what I need. I need balance because, like you said, white is like the universal color. Same thing with black. I think you can pretty much use those for pretty much anything.
Right.
But having colors there just makes it that much more special to me. In my mind, it feels better. I like it when the color corresponds. You know, we've talked before about magic being a like for like kind of thing. If I have a blue candle to represent water and emotion, it feels right and good to me. Whereas if I'm using a white candle, it's probably just because it's in a pinch and maybe I want to inscribe like water symbols or write the word blue on it.
We've even gone so far as when we were a little on the poorer side, trying to put together a ritual. When you don't have ritual tools and you want to still have kind of that altar set up, so to say, we have put a blue candle in the west and a yellow candle in the east and a red candle in the south and a green candle in the north and called it good. And then we had a white or a white and black candle in the center for deity, and that was our altar.
And those can be candles from the dollar store.
Oh, absolutely.
They can be leftover birthday candles. They do not have to be brand new candles for each and every time. That has a place, and there's times where you're going to want to do brand new candles.
Well, there are spells, and we don't want to skip over this little tidbit. There are spells that do require you to burn a candle from start to finish, which, by the way,
Yes.
do not get one of those big ass ones from the grocery store that'll take you 8 weeks to burn if that's your intent.
Yeah.
Color correspondence for me is a very important thing. And I think especially when you're talking about candle magic, it's worth honoring and respecting color correspondences.
I think so too, but I've also been super poor and picked a purple candle and called it good enough for red.
Well, we've done that. Yeah, absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
I'm going to say that you can fudge any color you want to. It's really going to depend on your intention and how well you can hold the thought that that green candle for South really does work.
But if you have the means and the ability, red for south works too.
Absolutely. And candles are so cheap nowadays, it's pretty easy to grab a couple. It does not matter where they come from. But just like Shell said, use white or black if you don't have the correct colors. Come close enough if you can. And then pay attention to how long they burn.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty important. If you're doing a spell and you need to burn that candle from start to finish for the spell, sometimes you'll do it over time period. Like you'll burn it every night for 3 nights and then you should be done with it. But sometimes you need to burn it in one sitting. And so you really don't want a 12-hour candle if
But then
that's
you're
what
like,
you're doing.
shit, I got this Yankee jar candle and it's gonna burn for 96 hours. Damn it. So, you know, a little pre-planning helps.
Little pre-planning. If you are strapped for cash, buy those big, huge pillar candles that are a little bit more expensive. Find one on sale. Just get one and have that one candle represent all of your elements. And the reason you can do that is because candles themselves contain every element, which is one of
Right.
the things I love about it. You've got the air, you know, when you put it out, there's the smoke, but even while it's burning, it represents air. It's distributing the air. It has fire in the fire. It has water in the wax that's melting. And it has earth also in the wick and the wax and the heftiness of itself. So you can represent all four elements there and even spirit. So if you really must be frugal, get like a big ass candle and something that you really enjoy. But you can have that represent all elements and do it that way.
Another frugal idea that I've taken advantage of in the past is so you know how you get what I like to call candle butts?
Oh, yeah.
So you got a bunch of candle butts, melt them down, and you can actually make a brand new candle out of the candle butts. And you can actually make that candle for your intention for a spell or a magical working. So you can melt down some old wax and recreate a new candle out of that and charge your intentions in, or maybe put any oils and herbs, add that to the candle when you're remaking it. So that's also a good
Perfect.
thrift, that's also a good thrifty way to continue on with it.
We have done this in the past, and we
Yep.
have made making that candle part of the ritual or the spell itself. And it's super easy. Get
And
yourself a
fun.
pot. Yeah, and fun. Get a pot from a thrift store. Put a can, a metal can, inside that pot. Fill the
Don't
pot
use
with
a pot.
water.
Don't use a pot that's really expensive that
No.
you are in love with, because you might not be able to use it for food after this.
Yeah, just thrift one. Because you're going to put a metal can in it. You don't want to do that to your good pans. So put water in your pot, put your metal can inside the water in the pot, and then put your candle butts in the can. Bring the water to a slow boil and just let that melt. Do not leave it alone. This is highly flammable.
Exactly.
But melt those down and then pour it into whatever container mold you have around with your new wick. And like Shell said, put some things in there, put some herbs, make it a whole ritual. Put a little bit of oil in there,
Right.
but it can be a very powerful way to add extra energy to your ritual or spell.
You know, we did touch a little bit about using fire for divination and fire scrying, but I also wanted to touch on real quick and just mention that you can also read candle wax. I don't know if it's anything you've ever done. I have not, but you can actually do divination with reading the candle wax.
I've seen it done two ways, and I've done it one. Are you talking about the way the candle melts? Or the way I've done it is I've done a spell and then poured the candle wax into a bowl of water.
Actually, the part I was talking about was pouring some melted wax into the water.
Tell us about it and then I'll tell you my experience.
You know, I never really heard of seeing the formations as it melts down, but that's actually a good idea. I've read a couple stories. Actually, one of the ones I read, I read it, and it also came with a YouTube tutorial, by the way.
Love a good YouTube tutorial.
What they do is they almost do it like teaspoon by teaspoon. Drop a teaspoon of wax in the water, see what it forms. Then drop another teaspoon of wax and see what it forms. And it seems like people do that either 3, 5, or 7 times. So you either drop 3 drops in, or 5 drops in, or 7 drops in, almost like if you were going to do a 3-card, 5-card, or 7-card spread with tarot.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's almost like the first droppings would be card one if we were going to equate it to tarot. And then the second droppings would be like card two. It is not something I have actually done. And after reading into this, I'm actually thinking of checking out some candle divination and see what I find out. Because for all the divination I do, how different can it really be?
It was interesting when I did it. Now, I'm going to say that I was a very young 20 something. It was probably right before I met you, I think I did this. I was in a moment between several relationships, none of which were good. And I really wanted to let go of all of these attachments. And I felt a calling. I felt like my soulmate was out there. I knew he was looking for me too. You know that kind of feeling?
That wasn't before we met. I remember
Well, yeah, I was still going through it when we met,
that.
but. You know, it took me a minute. But one of the things I did at that time was I did a love spell. It was more of a divination spell, like who is he? What is he like? And to be honest, the whole time I was doing the spell, I was thinking of a past lover, someone that I had been with before that I knew was bad for me and I knew I needed to get away from, but I wasn't really strong enough to let go of. You know, we've all been there.
Been there, done that.
While I could feel this call of the right person, I was still tied to the wrong one. So, anyway, I'm doing this spell and I want to see what my future holds for me, who my future love is. The thing I did wrong was I was thinking of this other person. Part of the spell was I had a bowl of water that I had blessed and had under the full moon, you know, the whole nine. And I had this big white candle, big fat white candle in a glass jar, right? And I'm burning it and I'm doing this whole divination. And at the height of the spell, I pour this white candle wax into my bowl of moon water and I'm asking for a sign. You know, of course, it cools very quickly. And I look in the water and I see that this wax has formed a pair of legs that look like they're running.
Right.
And
Run far, run far.
That was my sign. And it was pretty soon after that that I did the ritual at Samhain to finally let go and break all of those ties. And it worked beautifully. But that was my sign. It did not give me any type of hint towards my future love. It just told me, like you said, run far. I needed to run away from what was not working for me, what did not serve me. So that's how I did it. It was just one pouring. It wasn't multiple pours. But
Okay.
I like the multiple pour idea. Now, does it say anything that you should look for symbols, or is it looking for some type of sigil? Does it give you any like divination tools?
It doesn't, and it seems like it's more of a personal preference. Like I might see a giraffe. You could see a butterfly, part of its perspective,
Right.
it seems.
I think so too. And that's pretty much, I don't remember where I got that spell from, to be honest, but I do remember that the divination portion of it was similar to tea leaves in that there were some symbols that seemed to be universal, but
Right.
most of it seemed to be up to personal interpretation.
Right. And I think, and that's what a lot of magic is, to be honest. It's personal interpretation.
Yeah.
And in any form of divination, you can say the same exact thing. It all comes down to personal interpretation. If I were doing something like that, this is where I would think colors for me would be, for me personally, not judging nobody, would be important. If I'm trying to do divination for love, maybe I should be using a red candle wax. If I'm trying to do divination for my finances, I might want to be using green candle wax. If I'm trying to do stuff, about communication, maybe yellow. So that's again where I would think for me personally, I might want to personalize it more with candle wax color.
I agree. And it's really nice to use that candle wax in multiple ways afterwards. Take that candle wax and pour it onto a piece of wax paper and then stamp a sigil into it to complete your spell and then carry that as a token. You can put extra herbs or a stone into it and again put that in an amulet or keep it with you to be part of that spell if you need it to carry forward. This topic was actually suggested to me by my daughters. We were in the car when you said, "What's the topic?" And I'm like, "Hey girls, what have you heard lately? What are people talking about, like witchcraft?" And they talked about a candle spell where they were taking two candles and tying them together.
People I've heard of doing that as like a faux cord cutting. Instead of doing an actual cord cutting, they take two attached candles and light them and kind of let that cord burn and separate the two entities.
Oh yeah, cord cutting. This one's a binding spell. Oh, I see. How would you do a binding spell like that?
Entwine the wax together, have them burn close enough that the melted wax entwines together.
Okay, so it can be used for a binding spell where you tie the candles together, burn them together, and then as the wax puddles together with the cord, there's your amulet right there.
Right.
Or you can have them tied together so that when they burn that cord and sever it. And again, that like for like connection is a severing. So that's very symbolic of severing that connection and letting it go.
Yeah.
I can see where you could do either one of those. Now, the fun thing with candle magic, again, it encompasses the elements, air, fire, water, earth, and spirit. Candles embody all of that. And they're super fun to do spells with because you have all this blank surface to write your spell. I used to love to rune candles. I would
Yep.
write my spell out in runes, and then part of your spell is etching those runes, that spell letter by letter, onto the candle that you are then going to burn. You can put in your own sigils. You can rub it with herbs. You can rub it with oils. You can do so many things to a candle that then becomes the whole spell.
Right. And again, you just want to make sure that the sizes of the candle matches the intent of your spell. Make sure if you are using any herbs or oils that you plan to mix in or rub on your candles. I can't remember what it was, and I wish I did because this would be a good PSA announcement. But I remember at one point using an oil rub on a candle, and that candle kind of uncontrollably sparking.
That'd be scary.
And I don't know if it was the magic I was making or how the oil was reacting to being on fire. Either way, it was a fire hazard. That's all I'm saying.
Anytime you're working with fire, make sure you're taking safety precautions, Have some water, have some sand, have some type of snuffer nearby. Do not catch your hair on fire. I knew a witch who did that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, please be careful. But Shell also makes a really good point about using herbs and oils to dress your candle. When you were talking about it sputtering, you said you didn't know if it was part of the magic. That's another part of divination that some people will do. You can sometimes feel, I know you've been in circle when you felt very connected maybe to the flame of a candle and you felt the power grow in circle and seen that flame grow.
Grow with the power. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, called air and seen the flame flicker. We've
Right.
all felt that kind of connection with the flame. And sometimes it is trying to talk to us, and people will interpret it in different ways. Like if there's crackling or sparking, that might mean that there's some type of negative energy in the area. If it burns down one side rather than the other, sometimes that can mean whatever you're doing is one-sided. A lot of this stuff is very literal. If you look at it and kind of interpret it like dream symbols, you'll get the idea. If your candle's burning and it's all spiky and all over the place, maybe your energy is kind of
All
in there.
spiky and all over the place.
Yeah. Or, look at the shape of that candle as it's burning. It might be trying to give you some type of sign or some, be responding to some type of energy that's in your circle. So you can kind of look at how it's melting and do a little divination that way as well.
The other thing I wanted to mention that I have also used candles for, and I know you have too, you can use the candles aside from doing spells and in particular magic. But you can use the candles to cleanse other tools, to cleanse things. I've used the flame of a fire to cleanse my athame. I've used fire to cleanse stones before and things like that. So you can also use the flame of the candle as kind of like a cleanser. Or if it's not something that can burn, because I've done this with crystals, I will like take a quartz crystal and just kind of wave it through the flame or just right above the flame. Obviously I don't want to burn myself or light my crystals on fire, but just that act of either right above the flame or through the flame, or if the candle is got like those herbs and some oils in it, if that flame is a little smoky, utilizing that smoke as a cleanser.
Fire is very much a purifier. It kills germs. It reforges metal. It definitely can purify and cleanse so many things. Many cultures have taken advantage of this. Just in our recent Beltane episode, we talk about ancient Celtic people building balefires on Beltane, two of them, and passing their cattle, their sheep, their newlyweds through those fires to cleanse them, and recreating that by having two candles. Maybe instead of passing it over the fire, maybe you want two candles and pass it between those candles, between those two fires. So there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize that fire as a purification or a cleansing, like Shell does for her tools, for whatever, if you get a new tool, if you want to cleanse an old tool.
I do think it's important to cleanse your tools on occasion, and fire and water are my go-tos.
Like Michelle said, one of my favorites is the smoke, particularly if it's incense from loose incense smoke. Or
Yeah.
I do love a candle. Maybe it's a candle that I've made or something.
That you've dressed yourself with your
Yeah,
own magic. Yeah.
exactly. And once that candle is burning, especially it has a nice scent or something, I do love to pass it over that candle and around that flame responsibly, like you said, above the flame. No one's trying to burn our fingers here. So it's an excellent way to purify your tools, to purify your space. You can walk around your new house, your new apartment with a candle. And again, that's one way to represent all the elements and sanctify your space.
I think for the most part, my go-to is really these little birthday candles because you can get them colored and they're small enough that you can do a particular spell or working with it and have it burn out to the bitter end. They're the unsung hero, birthday candles.
I do love little tapers. I like little tapers.
But you know what I've noticed? Let me
What's
get on
that?
a little soapbox here for a second. They charge ridiculous prices for those mini tapers. Like you want like $5, $6. The damn thing is like 2 inches big. It's wax.
As many candles as we go through, I think prices are ridiculous. I like it much better. Like I said, go someplace inexpensive, dollar store, Dollar Tree.
Right,
Sometimes
right,
you can get
right.
them at thrift stores, pretty inexpensive. Although thrift
Here's my
stores are getting
problem.
expensive nowadays, too.
Yeah, but here's my problem with candles from the dollar store and the Dollar Tree. That shit's like 18 inches high. What if I don't want to wait 18 inches of wax melting?
Cut them in half.
Oh, shit. I never thought of that. See, Layla's always full of tips and tricks, folks. Always full of them.
Oh, I'm a frugal witch. That's the thing. But you can take those long tapers and you can cut them. If your taper breaks, it's not a bad candle. You've got two candles now.
Those little mini taper candles, I love them and they're super cute, but damn, they're a ripoff.
Yeah, they can be very expensive. And that's another good reason, like Shell said, to use, if you have a pack of birthday candles, you can use those if in a pinch. Frugal witches here, I guess. Shell, you live in the witch capital of the world, and you can get magical candles everywhere. I mean, you walk to work and you probably pass 75 different magical candle shops.
76, but yep.
How do you feel about buying candles that are for a specific purpose? Like, if you go to the store, you can find these like love candles that maybe even have a little love charm on them, or money candles. How do you feel about those? Do you ever want to spend any money on those?
You should know me well enough to know that my true Gemini self, it depends on my mood.
That's true.
It depends on my mood because if I am in the mood to not be buying expensive shit, it ain't happening. I am going to make and dress my own stuff. But if you catch me on a payday and I'm walking down and I'm like, ooh, look at that candle in the window. So it honestly, it's a mood thing. It's also what money I got in my pocket at the time, honestly.
I am absolutely going to admit I have been swayed by the pretty candle in the pagan shop. I can't, it had a hidden crystal inside, shell. Come
I mean,
on.
the whole time I'm paying for it, I'm saying I can make this goddamn thing like a quarter of the price. I can make it just, it's probably going to be more magical because I did it myself. But damn it, it's pretty and smells
So
good and I want
pretty.
it. I want it.
Okay.
Like, I like those, the thick pillars that
Oh
you can
yeah.
get.
Oh yeah, love me a thick pillar.
And I can't think.
Yeah.
They're pretty standard. You find them in shops all across the country, and they
Yeah.
got like a band. Like one is, for a healthy home or something like that. I do like those, but I do pay for them thinking I could do the same damn thing, but I want to buy your pretty stuff. And I'm all about supporting small business, and I'm lazy. So if my laziness mixed with my desire to support local business, I'll buy the pretty candle in the window, but I also, you might also catch me making my own too.
Yeah, same. I am often found at my any local pagan shop wherever I happen to land, and I will occasionally buy the pretty nice smelling
We're
candle.
like damn fairies. We just get pretty shiny things, you know?
Yeah, my husband calls me a magpie, but
Yeah.
an Etsy's an, if you don't happen to live in the witch capital of the world like some of us shell, you
Yeah.
can find a lot of these shops online or on Etsy. So they're a lot of fun and same. I want to support people if I can, but most of the time I'm just buying dollar store candles, especially because they burn fast.
Hey, I'm in the witch city capital of the world, and I'm still going and buying candles at the dollar store. So
Yeah, that's the way it
you
goes.
do what you gotta.
Yep, use a white or black candle if you have to, but try to stick to colors just because it makes it magic a little easier, in our opinion. And, dress them yourself. They are more magical that way. Try a candle spell yourself and see how it goes.
Just be careful. Don't burn the place down.
So respect the fire elemental, and we will see you next time. If you have any ideas or if you want to let us know what you think of our show, please like, subscribe, and send us an email backonthebroomstick@gmail.com. And we will see you next time.
Have a great week. Keep it witchy.